welcome to Minute 33 of The Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into The Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Tom.
And I'm Rob.
And joining us again today is World War II historical fiction author J.D. Keene. How are you doing today, J.D.?
Doing great. Appreciate you having me.
Our pleasure. Minute 33 starts with Roger finishing his thought by saying, "I thought of the humiliation," and ends with Ramsay smirking and nodding. So, you know, we've talked on it in previous weeks, but and last week we kind of talked about it from the German side in terms of how the SS / Gestapo interacted with Luftwaffe. But now this week we get the how the British see differences in those groups, and it, you know, Roger doesn't, you know, he flat out says that they're all the same to him, while Ramsay has a slightly more nuanced view when he's telling him that it is worth remembering this camp isn't being run by the Gestapo and SS. And so I know, Rob, you wanted to talk about this a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, as we discussed it numerous times in the past, and I thought maybe, you know, if when we have Jim here, maybe we can touch on the point again. That it's strange to me, and I know that you've agreed with this fact that the way that the story is depicted, and from what I understand, it's also this is the way it was in real life, that you had the German Luftwaffe, which is the German Air Force, so they were in charge of the Air Force prisoners, and then you had the SS were in charge of the, you know, army prisoners or whatever. And it just always is very strange to me to think about that, because like when you look at the U.S. military system, there's, you know, when you're dealing with a prison aspect of it, so you have the MPs, you know, who aren't from a specific branch of the armed forces. They're I guess you could say a unit in and of themselves, where they're the ones who are in charge of dealing with law and order, including holding onto prisoners and keeping them in confinement and stuff like that. So it's just strange for me to see that in the German military system, the way that they did it was that each branch were in charge of making sure to keep their counterparts, you know, in prison. So therefore, I mean, as Ramsay mentions in this minute, you know, you can clearly see that he feels that it's an advantage that they're being watched by the Luftwaffe instead of by the Gestapo or the SS, that it gives them a little more freedom to do what they want to do. And, you know, the Luftwaffe isn't as strict with them as their guards would be if they were coming from either the SS or the Gestapo. Jim, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I think as far as the prison camps themselves, whether they were the RAF or airmen versus army personnel, I think the Wehrmacht did guard the army personnel, not the Air Force. And the Air Force did guard the pilots or the airmen, and the Gestapo, they weren't really involved in the prison camps. They just had the torture. Well, they had a very specific role, and their role was kind of nasty. And they did not have the manpower. The number of personnel that were actually in the Gestapo compared to the overall Wehrmacht and the Luftwaffe is very minute. The SS was a very elite group. They had their mission, and guarding prisoners really was not it. So as far as the Luftwaffe guarding the RAF and American pilots, rather than just having the Wehrmacht do it, that's kind of an interesting thing. But even say U.S. in the U.S. military, all right, if Navy personnel are thrown in the brig, they're thrown in a Navy brig. They're not thrown in an Air Force brig or an Army brig. If a Army personnel is incarcerated, they're thrown into an Army brig. So it kind of makes sense from that perspective.
No, that's when you're dealing with your own soldiers. But here we're talking about they're being put in a position where they become jailers for the enemy. And they only would be in charge of the enemy that coincides with their respective positions.
Correct. And that's the way they did it. I guess you could probably Air Force and the Luftwaffe is kind of like a gentleman's club. They're pilots. They kind of view themselves different. And I think that's kind of the mentality behind it. That's probably not the best answer, but that would be, my guess, would be the motivation.
No, that makes complete sense, to me.
Yeah, no, I can understand how that makes sense. But again, the Air Force, they're pilots. They should be flying. They should be, you'd think that Von Luger should be, in charge of pilots. I mean, based on the pictures in his office, we know that he himself is a flyer, perhaps during World War One or whatever. And we also know that he's not the biggest fan of Hitler, by the way, that doesn't give very enthusiastic Heil Hitlers and it needs to be a little prompted to do so. Okay, no, I guess I can accept that answer, but Roger's answer is correct also. A Nazi is a Nazi is a Nazi. That's more or less what he says.
Right.
It doesn't matter. You can say it's the Gestapo. You can say it's the Luftwaffe. You can say that it's the SS. It doesn't make a difference. These are our enemies. You can't start differentiating between them.
Well, another thing that scene does, getting back to something I mentioned in a previous episode, when somebody is telling a story, you have to insert some backstory. We can't assume that everybody that's watching The Great Escape has an understanding of who the Gestapo is and who the Wehrmacht is and that there's a difference. So they had to write the movie with the assumption that there's going to be viewers who have no idea that there's a difference. So they very cleverly inserted that into this scene to quickly educate the viewer that there's a difference between the Gestapo and the general Luftwaffe.
Difference in what way?
Well, we don't need, we don't need a World War II history lesson over the course of the movie. We just need and it could be the fact of when I grew up, everyone knew who the Gestapo were and who the SS were, but I'm younger than both of you. And so, but you need that differentiation of you have these groups that we know who they are. I don't know how many people knew who or what the Luftwaffe was. And, we're just making a distinction that, yes, we have SS and Gestapo in this movie. We're not spending a lot of time dealing with them. They're presented as more evil than Luftwaffe. No, they're different. That's all you need to know, and let's go about the movie.
Right, and I think they did a good job of that.
I agree.
Yeah, there's no question about that. But again, most people aren't familiar with the term Luftwaffe. They're not going to know what it is. I guess from that perspective, it's not necessary to know who they are, just to know that they're not the Gestapo. I think in some ways, because this movie came out less than 20 years after the end of World War II, I think sometimes they're trying to tone down the fact that this is a World War II, they're trying to show that there isn't as much tension 20 years on between the Allies and the Germans as there might have been at the time. And it seems that there are certain parts of the movie, and I can say that this scene fits that, where in some ways they're trying to lighten the whole idea of what the Germans did. They're saying, okay, in this point they're sort of saying, everyone, all right, it's the Luftwaffe. It's not the Gestapo. It's not the SS. The Luftwaffe are the good Nazis. You know, that's sort of, or the nicer Nazis, you could say. I don't know. That's my, you know, perspective on it.
Well, and I also wonder how, because you see this a lot in, you know, 60s, you know, through the early 70s World War II movies, that how much was, and I don't really want to go into a deep dive on the Holocaust, but how much was of that was in the public consciousness, you know, before that miniseries in 78? How much was it in, you know, the American consciousness that, you know, post that, and anytime you make a movie with Nazis as the bad guys today, that's hanging over the head of the film, and just how that dichotomy has changed over the course of time.
Right, but back then there were a lot more people who had personal connections to the war and to everything that happened. You know, now we're even further distanced from it. You know, there aren't that many people that are still around that lived through the war. So it's all based on, you know, the stories and testimonies that we've heard.
Yeah.
That's true. However, one of the things that I believe is that because of technology, and we have more access to information now, so we're able to find stuff instantly. As far as going into Google, type in Holocaust, boom, you got pages and pages and pages. So I do think that possibly now people are more aware of it because of that. But who knows? I mean, I don't know.
Okay. I mean, the final sentence basically of this conversation between the two of them also says a lot, because what Roger says is, well, the high command, if they were unhappy with Hitler, they should have thrown him out. You know, basically what he's saying is that, again, as I mentioned before, Roger just keeps reiterating, a Nazi is a Nazi is a Nazi. It doesn't matter, you know, any way you look at it. And I think in some ways Ramsey is in this conversation just as a devil's advocate. I don't think that he completely disagrees with Roger. I think the two of them are, you know, they're as what's the saying, preaching to the choir. Basically, he's saying, okay, I'm the senior officer here, or senior British officer, excuse me, SBO. I'm gonna use myself as a backboard for to vent his frustration about the whole thing. But the bottom line is that we all want to get out of here. We want to go home. You know, we don't want to be here anymore.
Well, and also how much of it is him feeling out Roger going, you're telling me this isn't personal. Let me, you know, maybe push your buttons just, you know, let me push your buttons a little bit and see how you react, and maybe use that reaction to go, yeah, no, this is way too personal for you, or, oh, okay, you're telling me it's not personal. Your actions and what you're telling me back that up. I don't need to worry. Let's move on with the big plan.
Right, but they also discuss issues of morale from the beginning, because they're basically saying, you know, that what they want us to do is just knuckle under and crawl through, or whatever. I think that's what they said, and that's what Ramsey says, and Roger's response was, just, surely you don't advocate that we do that. You know, you're saying that we're gonna just sit back and let them do whatever they want, and then we're just gonna cut everything they say. So I think that, I mean, this is a great conversation between the two of them, because there is so much underlying information between in this minute that's just the conversation between two old friends. You know, I guess you could say checking each other out.
I think also Ramsey, because of his position, he may very well be in favor of the plan to get 250 plus men out, but because of his position, he also needs to make certain that Roger's thinking it through clearly. And I think that's why he's giving him the pushback. It's like he never actually says, obviously, that no, I'm not in favor of it. He's just kind of thinking, well, let's think this through very clearly with his questioning.
Right.
I did have to laugh at one line in this minute. Roger's doing his frantic finger, you know, jabbing his finger at the table and saying they're common enemies of those who believe in freedom. And then there's a pause, and in my head I just put, and the USSR.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, but how much did they know that back then?
Well, the 60s, the Cold War is on at that point. I mean, we went from fighting Germans to Russians pretty much right away. So,
there was just
that moment hanging in the air, and that just jumped into my mind.
No, I definitely can agree with that. And I love the way that at this point they just have a quickly transition between the conversation. And he goes, oh, okay, well, when do you call your meeting X? No, we've gotten that out of the way.
Let's move on.
They have this fierce conversation about what's a real Nazi and what's not. And then he goes, oh, and by the way, when are you going to be doing your, when are you calling the next meeting?
Well, and we get a pretty nice musical cue there too at the end. We get that swell of the music and Bernstein doing his amazing score towards the end of this minute as well. You know, I think really, you know, lifts up the minute from the, you know, heavy, you know, different types of Nazis, a Nazi is a Nazi conversation, more into what you're saying, the, okay, so when are we having the meeting?
Yeah, it's like, what do we do now?
Right. And then they cap it off really well with the two of them just smirking at one another. Basically saying, okay, we made everyone, we fooled everyone to think that we were actually arguing here. Yeah.
Just in case someone's listening at the door.
Exactly. Did you notice that when Ramsay pours the tea, he actually spills it? You know, he's talking before about how important these tea leaves are. And he starts pouring it and he spills a little bit on the table.
I didn't notice that. Man. That's funny. Maybe I'll catch that in the 101st viewing of the movie.
There you go. Why not?
I'll look for it now.
Well, Rob, do you have anything else for this minute?
No, I think I got enough for this one.
JD?
We're good.
All right, well, why don't you remind everyone where they can find and buy your books?
You can find my books on Amazon. And my pen name, I write under the name J.D. Keene, K-E-E-N-E. I write World War II historical fiction. The first book I wrote is called The Heroes of St. Mary Gleese. It's about the Normandy invasion and how the French resistance participated. And then my second book takes place in Italy, and it's more of a love story, but it is also World War II historical fiction.
Excellent. Well, everyone should go check those out and buy multiple copies of them. If you want to get in touch with us, our email address is thegreatminute@gmail.com. Our Facebook group is The Cooler. We have a website, thegreatescapeminute.com, and you can follow us on Twitter @greatescapemxm. And please review and subscribe to this podcast on whatever podcatcher you use. And we will talk to you all tomorrow. Tally-ho.
Tally-ho.
Tally-ho.